You can find inspiring stories almost anywhere. For instance, check out the co-founders of Girls Who Do Interiors. This Miami-based design company was started by three friends when they were still in school. And right from the start, they turned to Chase for Business for everything from banking and payment acceptance to credit cards. And they handle them all in one place with the Chase mobile app. It's so important to have that kind of help when you're just starting out. Learn more at chaseforbusiness.com. Make more of what's yours. Chase mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JP Morgan Chase Bank NA, member FDIC.
The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G-connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is accelerating innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Pushkin.
I love the idea of this big engine presence, like a big V8 or even a V12 in a sedan that you can just haul ass in.
Right, for the dignified hooligan.
Exactly. So we know what we're looking for. We're looking for a car, the most dignified car for the biggest hooligan.
I'm ready.
On this season of Car Show, we're putting cars in four brackets to the test, all in the pursuit of crowning a winner of our very own Car of the Year contest, and hopefully helping you decide how to spend your hard-earned money. This episode is about my favorite segment of all, sports sedans. I've driven about 200 cars this year, and four sports sedans stood out. Some because they were great, one because it was a little disappointing. Those four cars are the Audi RS3, the Cadillac CT5V Blackwing, the Honda Civic Type R, and the Hyundai Elantra N. I've enlisted Alana Scher to help me rank them. Alana is a hot rodder and muscle car freak from back in the day, and she's currently senior editor and a columnist for Car and Driver. Together, we'll decide which will pass through the gauntlet to the final round. I'm Eddie Alterman, and this is Car Show.
So creamy. So good. The brakes are insane and so easy to modulate. They just haul this thing down without drama. Just wonderful. Before we start talking about the cars, I'd like to get your take on what you think a great sports sedan should be.
Ooh, I mean, sports sedan, when you first think about it, is kind of, you're like, no, what? No, sedans, they're not sporty. Sedans are for families. Sedans are for people who need to look important and go stately, or maybe for people who just like to fill the backseat of their car with all their luggage or their groceries or something. You know, some people don't like trunks. I'm fine. I understand that. You know, you just want to be close to your stuff. But I don't know. Then they started making fast four doors, right? And they're always sleepers. I do like a sleeper, you know. Even in the muscle car days, you know, if you think about it, like the way that muscle cars even started was with the engine from a sedan that they then would put into a smaller two-door car or a sportier car. So really, sports sedans are the performance car.
They're under the radar performance, right? They're the car that, you know, a middle-aged person could drive respectably
and not attract the attention of the cops, but, you know, get on the highway, put the hammer down, or take an off-ramp, a highway off-ramp, like a complete lunatic, and, you know, go back to being, you know, a respectable burger by day and Batman by night, right? And it's that great incongruity of formal envelope, you know, like a formal sedan shape with just a huge stonking engine in it. And I feel like these cars are sort of do it all. You know, the original BMW M5s are sort of like four-door 911s. You know, they gave you everything in a great package.
Yeah. Do you feel like M5 started the true sportiness? Because, you know, I'm thinking sort of, you know, I went way back and went to kind of like the muscle engine in the big car, but those were not good handling cars, right? Like a Cadillac or a big Mercedes, like that was not a car you wanted to take a corner in.
No, like the 6.9 Mercedes, yes, tons of motor, but not truly kind of track focused four-door. You know, you think that, well, this car is bigger than a two-door, it's not a coupe, it's not as low to the ground, it's got a lot of extra mass, why are we bothering making it sporty? But comfort and performance really are great bedfellows. They really do go together like chocolate and peanut butter. And I love a car like this. This is my personal favorite category. And I think we're sort of at the end of the traditional big engine, kind of mid-size sports sedan. I think they're all in the future going to be electric powered. And they'll be very, very quick. Don't get me wrong. So let's talk about these cars, and we're going to go in alphabetical order. The first one that I'd like to talk to you about is the Audi RS3. Now, RS3 means it is the A3 body with not just the S performance kit, it's the RS performance kit, and it's gigantically powerful.
The Audi RS3's natural predators are the BMW M2 Coupe and the Mercedes-AMG CLA 45. It's a $60,000 nugget with a thrumming five-cylinder engine making 401 horsepower. And its all-wheel drive system has a drift mode that helps you pull off lurid, frame-filling power slides.
So the first time that I drove one, first of all, the one that we drove was like bright spring green, like it was just like fluorescent green, like highlighter green. I was like, an Audi? Really? You know, kind of surprised me a little bit. And I knew on paper what it was supposed to be, but I hadn't ever been in one. And I like the fact that it's kind of like the more three, like, you know, S3 is like more, and then the RS is more. So that's promising. And it was ridiculously fast. I mean, like,
oh, insanely quick.
Because it didn't hold anything back. You know, sometimes you'll get in a very powerful car, but it has like a little bit of a pause, not like a turbo lag, just like a little bit of a drivetrain cushion to protect it a little. And Audi was just like, no, you can have it all. You want it all. It's on you, man. You made the decision. So that was startling and delightful because it doesn't look like it's something that's going to do that. Even in bright, bright green, I was like, eh.
But it's pretty wide, yeah. Slow to the ground. It looks mean.
Yeah, but it doesn't have like crazy wings or really that many slats or openings or anything. Like it's, you know, if you got it in silver, no one who didn't know would know.
Right, right. But, you know, I drove that thing and I was, like you, very impressed with the speed. I thought it was insanely quick and it looked great. And I liked the fact that it was small. I didn't like the fact that you couldn't get a manual transmission in it. And I didn't like how sort of cold it was to the touch. I mean, this thing was like colder than a polar bear's ass. It was just like, you know, very, very inert feeling in a way, like mechanical, robotic, not a lot of feedback. And, you know, if we're talking about sports sedans, they should have some elements of a sports car. They should have that sensitivity and that feedback and really be rewarding to all the senses like a sports car is. They should give you something. This one was just sort of like not a very willing partner. I don't know. What's your take on that?
I totally know what you're talking about. It's not even that it's unwilling. It's that it didn't care one way or the other, right? Like, it's like, you want to go? We can go. You don't want to go? We don't have to go.
I'm fine
with it. What do you
right?
want for? What do you want for dinner? I don't know. What do you want? You know. And also, this is a small quibble, but you know, keeping with my relationship metaphor, you know, when you like somebody but they have one super irritating small habit, like they just chew too loudly or something, and eventually you're like, I can't live with this person. Like, we have to break up. The brakes on that car were, I just hate the way they feel. It's not that it didn't stop. They just, every time I hit the brakes, I was like, ding.
Yeah. So talk more about that. I felt the same way. They were unpredictable.
And really, anyone who knows me and knows my background might be right now yelling at this podcast, like, Alana, you have no right to talk about brakes. You drive cars that don't even currently have working brakes and you're still driving. And I'm like, yes, that's true. And it pulls to the side, but it does it the same every time. So I know what to expect. Like with the Audi, it's like a little bite, then it was soft again, then it was really soft, then it like hit. I want like linear braking that is the same all the way through. The Audi brakes almost felt like electric car brakes, which is my pet peeve about electric cars.
Brakes are your pet peeve about electric cars. Interesting.
Yeah, you said something about consistency. I feel like what I want from brakes is exactly the same every single time. They can be kind of bad every time, but if they're bad in the same way, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, it's true. Like a sports car, a sports sedan should be predictable. And I also think the responses should be very linear. That gives you a lot of predictability. Like, you know, when you turn the steering wheel, how much steering you're going to get, how much turning you're going to get. When you hit the brakes, you want to know how much braking force you're going to get. You don't want to have to guess, because when things get busy, you don't want to be thinking. You want to just be, you want to be in a flow state, right? And yeah, this Audi, I just couldn't get in a flow state. And yeah, it's got this super cool 5-cylinder engine, but I got out of this car and into the GR Corolla. And the GR Corolla just had this incredible brap and burble and this voice that I thought the RS3 would have, but it really didn't, you know? It just sounded sort of sewing machine-like.
I hear ya.
Yeah, but tons of pull, a lot of great things about this car. That's kind of why it's on the semi-final list, but it sounds like a hive of bees and it just didn't work for me.
It's a fairly large amount of money for something that doesn't love you back.
Exactly. Not a lot of soul. The next car we're going to talk about, Soul Out the Wazoo. This one comes from the home of soul and Motown, Cadillac CT5V Blackwing. Now, the CT5V Blackwing didn't come out in 2022. It's technically in its second model year. But I drove it this year, and this is my show, so it's magically eligible for our Car of the Year award. The CT5V Blackwing has rapier-like handling, incredible ride sophistication, and the mother of all engines, a supercharged 668 horsepower, 6.2-liter V8. So this car just hits all my buttons, you know, not just that it's from Detroit, but Cadillac has been on this mission for a very, very long time with their performance cars to outdo BMW, to build a better M5 or a better M3. And they've done it. They've outdone the original kind of M division masters with this car. It is just so full. It's so brimming with feedback. It's so alive to the touch. It is so predictable. It just goes exactly where you want to put it. And it's fun at 30 miles an hour. You don't have to be honking on it to really enjoy it. Tell me about this car and how you reacted to it.
So I've been very lucky to have multiple different goes in the Cadillac CT as the 5 Blackwing CT.
I always say CTS, but it's CT5V Blackwing.
See, this is my big complaint about this car. You know, I think you could get 0 to 60 in it quicker than you could say its full name. But CT5 Blackwing. I also like the CT4 Blackwing. But my first drive in it was pouring rain, in Ann Arbor, in Michigan, like pouring. And I'm from California. I don't understand rain. I was like, what do I do? I'm in this like manual car with 600 plus horsepower. I'm going to die. And the car was just like, you're fine. It's okay. I'm just going to like trundle along on my big old tires. I will stay in the lane. Like, don't worry about it. We're going to get you home. So I was kind of immediately like, whoa, you're so friendly. What a nice pal you are. And then on a dry day, you know, we got to take him on track and I was like, oh, you're vicious and I love you. And you know, this, it really does anything. I had the chance to drive it on track and, we were joking about how much torque it has. And I was like, you know, I bet you could start this car dead stop from fourth and then do a whole lap never shifting, and we did.
Amazing.
It was not even a problem. I think you could do it in fifth, but we didn't want to try.
Just a tidal wave of torque from this car, and it just, it's so instantaneously responsive. The engine just loves to come off the throttle. It's just so there for you all the time, and that applies to the steering, that applies to the brakes. And Cadillac has gone way out on the asymptote and keeps tuning and tuning until there's nothing left that's wrong with the car. It's just honing and honing. And I talked to one of the chassis engineers and he said, you know, this car has electric power steering. It does not have hydraulic power steering. And a lot of cars with electric power steering don't have any road feel. You can't feel the texture of the road. And I would say most of them. And it's a huge pet peeve of mine that, you know, a car that should be really sporty and performance oriented doesn't give you tactile feedback through the wheel. And he said, we really, really worked on all those transitional phases of steering inputs to give you that feedback. And that's why that car feels so alive and feels so good. And it's so big, but it just totally shrinks around you. It's super comfortable. It's really a Cadillac in every way, super smooth, but man, it just goes and goes and goes and just never wants to give up.
Yeah. Oh, you were talking about the steering feedback. And one of the things that is kind of amazing about that car is you can tell what's happening at the tires, but it's not jittering under your hand. Cause you know, you get in like a hypercar or a real sports car and you know, you could tell not just where the ruts are, but where like each pebble is and how big it is and maybe what color it is from like how much everything is moving around. And you're kind of, it can be exhausting if you're doing it as a daily driver. And it would be inappropriate for a Cadillac to be that hyperactive, and it's not, you know, like it's still, like you said, it's still a comfortable car. You know, I mean, it always sounds rowdy, but not, it's not a muscle car, even though it hangs with the muscle cars, you know, it
right.
has much better manners.
Yeah. Incredible, impeccable manners, knows which fork to use. And it's got those trick dampers that really work wonders on the car's ride.
It also has a usable back seat, which I know is, you know, maybe an afterthought in this conversation. But since we are talking about sedans, you can have four people in that car and they will all be reasonably comfortable.
Yeah, it's true. You can take it to the opera. It's like what Ferry Porsche said about the 911. You can take it to the East African Safari Rally and you can take it to the opera.
I don't want to sit in the back of a 911.
No one does. Those are seats for insurance purposes only and some groceries.
After the break, more sports sedans with our guest, Alana Scheer.
As listeners to this show, you probably consider yourself pretty smart. But how smart is your wallet? When you're looking to upgrade your wallet, it's time to turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds has the financial smarts to help you find the right financial products for you. Before NerdWallet, you might have paid for vacations with whatever was in your wallet, but you could have been missing out on miles you didn't even know you were leaving on the table. Now you can get a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet. Finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is accelerating innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, so moving on from a car that, you know, has a whole myth around it to another one that has a whole myth around it, the Honda Civic Type R.
The new for 2023 Civic Type R just loves to attack corners and on-ramps. Its 315 horsepower turbocharged four-banger sends power through one of the greatest manual transmissions ever made. The Type R costs $44,000. But good luck prying it out of a dealer's hands for that price.
The one I drove, I think you drove the same one, was white with a full red and black interior, red carpets. Oh, it was insane. And I think really, really beautiful. And I just love the way this car responded. It felt so kind of cheerful. What was your take on the Civic Type R?
Well, it's funny because we started off by saying that we felt like a perfect sports sedan was like for the dignified hooligan. And if you think about the previous Type R, there was nothing dignified about it. It was all hooligan. I kind of loved it because I enjoy a certain kind of rudeness in design where people are like, what? I remember once that I was in a parking lot and it wasn't a Type R. I think it was a WRX or something. But there was something with a big wing in the parking lot. And this older couple walked by. And the husband was like, "Ugh, that spoiler." And the wife was like, "Why is it called a spoiler? Because it spoils the look of the car." I always think about it. I like them, but I always think about what they must look like to people who don't understand, you know, the tradition or the point of them. It must just be very confusing. So anyway, now the Type R is definitely dignified. I mean, you know, from the front, you're like, "Oh yeah, classy car. Looks good."
Yeah.
And then in the back, it's just enough to be like, what's going on here?
It does have that big spoiler on the back. Looks more like a towel rack than an aero device, right? But it's a bit of a mullet. It's business up front, party in the back. They couldn't resist. I'm sure it's very functional. I'm sure it's great. But I would take that off. I don't know.
You're going to look really silly driving around in your Superbird with no wing on the back.
Sure. I thought the shifter in this car was incredible, too.
I was just going to say that, you know, if you have not, for some reason, been won over to a manual transmission, this is just a delight to drive. It's so easy.
So easy. The shifts are very short and very positive. You have that beautiful metal shift knob. That's just really rewarding to touch, and it just feels great. They have automatic rev matching, so you can downshift and look like a superstar in this car. You don't need to heel and toe, and it just makes you incredibly smooth. And this whole thing, to me, felt like the essence of Honda, which was, you know, this idea of man maximum, machine minimum. So it's very driver focused. You know, that's their sort of philosophy.
Yeah.
It's sort of outdated gender-wise. However, the idea...
I know what they mean.
The idea is that the vehicle should serve the person rather than the other way around. And I felt like instead of just sort of driving this car, you sort of plug into it. And it's super natural, super fluid, really flows beautifully. And, you know, I don't know, it's $43,000 or something like that. I think it's worth it, especially when the average transaction price of a car is like $48,000.
Yeah, I am a little bit disappointed in the price, I have to say, because I kind of always wanted this to be a car that, you know, younger people could have. Mm-hmm. You know, and before it was a car that really only younger people would have wanted to have been seen in.
Great point.
But now, you know, now it is so much more adult. It will have a much more mature audience, which means that there are going to be more people who can afford it, even as the price keeps going up. And, you know, that's it's good for Honda. It's, you know, good for grownups. But, you know, won't somebody think of the kids?
Well, you know, speaking of the kids, I was looking at used versions of the 2021 and earlier Civic Type R. And those things are going for $50,000 used. So I have to imagine there's going to be some dealer price gouging on this thing. And, you know, the 43 or whatever it is, I mean, the average transaction price might be higher than that. And we're just in a weird time, you know, because of the supply shortages, it's driving the cost of everything up. Hopefully it abates in 2023. But, you know, I think if you can get one at 44, you're winning.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be regrets from people who buy them.
Yeah, no, I think they're going to be totally satisfied. I love the thing. You know, there is a car out there, however, that sort of does what the Civic Type R does, but much more cheaply. And this thing was the surprise of the year for me.
The Hyundai Elantra N? Yes, the Hyundai Elantra N. This thing is no joke. It's a road-gripping, corner-eating monster. Even if its 276-horsepower Turbo 4 is less than half the engine in the Blackwing.
The Hyundai Elantra N. Okay, you think Elantra, okay, that's the rental car. Elantra N, totally different ball of wax. This is a car that I've driven a lot. I just drove it on Road and Track's Hudson Quattrocento rally, and the Ferraris could not get away from me in this thing. I was hounding them. It has so much driver feedback. You know exactly how to place this car. The power band is terrific. There's power sort of everywhere. The steering's great. The brakes are great. It's just so faithful. This car is like a trainer jet for guys who are going to be flying, you know, F-35s. It's like, reminds me of, you know, back when I was growing up, cars like the Nissan Sentra SER that were sort of like your first step on the enthusiast performance ladder. Did you get some time in this thing?
Absolutely. Yeah, I've done a couple of stints in this car, and it's hilarious. It's like, so if the Audi that we talked about in the beginning is maybe a little too dignified and a little not hooliganish enough, this one is edging up on not dignified enough, because I mean, it, you know, it burbles and farts. It has this like sound mode. In fact, I believe that it was the Elantra N right now, or it might be a Veloster N, but like currently in California, there's a lawsuit going on because somebody got a noise ticket in a stock N car because it's so loud in its sport mode. Like it's so, they were accused of having a modified car because it sounds like it is totally hot rodded. It's ridiculous.
The sounds are great. It's got this little induction flutter, you know, when you're on the gas, and the noise on the outside is loud and barky, and you know, it's kind of crazy, but it's comfortable. I think you can get four people in it pretty comfortably, and the driving position's great. The seats are really well bolstered. I love driving it. I found it sort of addictive.
Yeah, I liked it a lot too. And so, you know, I bring home a lot of cars, and my husband, who's also into cars, but he likes classic cars, he hates them all. He is like, it'll be like, oh, here's a McLaren 765. Do you want to take it around the block? No. Like, he just like has no interest.
Why not?
Just no interest in it. He thinks they're boring, and he doesn't like all of the stuff. He doesn't like all of the screens. He doesn't like the the electronics that are doing things, you know, rear wheel steer and, you know, stop start and all of that. He's just like, it's in the way, it's impure. But there are a couple of cars that he has liked over the years that I've brought home, and the Elantra N was one of them. And I think it was just because it's just like a stick. It wasn't really doing anything for you. You just had to do your own thing. And that was one where he was happy to drive it. So it sticks in my memory as being like, oh, well, this car is good enough that it'll win over somebody who, you know, only normally likes things from like 1930.
And I'm really kind of glad that they've focused a lot of this attention on the smaller cars. You know, this sort of compact size really works with the power. I just like a smaller car. I think cars have gotten too big, and this one feels just exactly right. Big enough inside for a family. It's a little bit like what we were talking about with the Honda, you know, really kind of roomy and airy inside, Honda more so, but they don't need to be much bigger than this. They really don't. And I'm just a super fan.
Yeah. I mean, all four of the cars in our lineup are really great size wise, and you don't really realize it if you're used to driving a big truck or if you've been driving an SUV, but when you get into a sedan and you pull into a parking spot and you're like, oh, there's space on either side inside the lines, like I can get in and out of this car, I'm not touching touching the other person's car, I didn't have to like rearrange the car a couple of times to get it into this parking spot. And you're like, oh, right. Yeah. Everything's too big. We should be smaller.
Right.
You know?
And I feel like you could get two Elantra Ns side by side in one of those Costco parking lot spaces, you know, that are designed for, you know, school buses and big rigs.
Yeah. You could park it at a Trader Joe's and that's saying something.
Totally.
So what's the best sports sedan of 2022? You'll find out after the break.
As listeners to this show, you probably consider yourself pretty smart. But how smart is your wallet? When you're looking to upgrade your wallet, it's time to turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds has the financial smarts to help you find the right financial products for you. Before NerdWallet, you might have paid for vacations with whatever was in your wallet, but you could have been missing out on miles you didn't even know you were leaving on the table. Now you can get a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet. Finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is accelerating innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Okay, time to rank them. As a reminder, we've got the Audi, the Cadillac, the Honda, and the Hyundai.
Getting back to this lineup and thinking about how we want to rank them, I think we're both pretty clear on what number four is. I think the Audi takes the last spot here, just because it doesn't return the kind of love that you expect. It doesn't love you back.
Yeah.
You know?
No, it's working. It's working for you. It's paid help, and it leaves at the end of the day and never thinks about you.
Oh, man. It's impressive. No question. It really does, do what it says it's going to do, and it gets around a racetrack really quickly. It's incredibly quick, and it really sticks to the road. But it's just robotic, you know? It's a drum machine versus a real drummer. I keep coming back to this analogy, but it really just lacks that feel. I think Audi RS3 doesn't do what you want it to do. I think the S3 actually provides more tactility and feedback than the RS3. But I just think it's 4 out of 4 here.
Yeah. Somebody has to come in last.
Somebody has to come in last. Even if it's a good car. And they're all really great cars. And my third spot, even though I love this car irrationally, goes to the Elantra N. Because if we're talking about dignified hooliganism, this ain't it.
It's not dignified. And it's really silly looking.
Yeah, it is, especially in that blue, you know, that
sort of. Yeah, I mean, you can love it. It's kind of, it's lovable, but it's not pretty. It's not a pretty car.
And, you know, the Honda Civic Type R just has those tiny degrees of refinement above and beyond this car that to me put it above the Elantra N. The Civic Type R has that wonderful kind of fluidity. And, you know, with the Elantra N, you're in a bit of a wrestling match. You know, you're punching it in the face and it's kicking you in the shins and you're just like back and forth with this car and you're rumbling with it. Whereas the Civic Type R is so much more elegant and fluid and it just flows from corner to corner and you're not muscling it in the same way, even though I love the Elantra N. And it is fluid, but doesn't have that same degree of refinement as a Civic Type R.
I do feel like the price difference is reflected in kind of the finish work and the fineness of input as well in those two cars. You know, I mean, the Elantra N gets high points for being, it's like mid-30s or something, I think, to start
it. Yeah, I think like 33.
Yeah, so it's like truly an affordable car. You get a lot for your money. But if you pay, you know, a little more, pay 10 more or whatever, and you go move into the Civic, it's definitely kind of a cleaner experience.
It feels like just sort of a higher class of car, you know. I think they're both worth the money, but, you know, the Type R is more expensive and justifiably so. And that's my second pick. I don't know. Do you agree or would you put that first?
I agree that those are the two middle cars. They're very close for me. I might swap them just purely on trying to push, you know, like how much you get for how little money in the Elantra. But then you're so right about the dignified. Like if we're really talking sport sedan, I mean, the Elantra N is more like a, you know, hot hatch with an extra door. So
right, exactly. So that leaves, you know, like my favorite car ever, the CT5V Blackwing from Cadillac. And I do think this is like the last of the holdouts. You know, it's got this gigantic 6.2 liter V8 supercharged, and it's so responsive. It's magical. It's just magical. I don't know how they did it. It feels like an animal. It feels like you're riding a cheetah. And
all of its tricks are brilliant tricks. You know, you can like flat shift it. You know, it also has rev match. Like it has like a burnout mode. It makes
that
you
line
feel
lock feature. Yeah.
Like you are a genius at driving, even if you're only okay. And if you are good at driving, then it's just a perfect partner.
That's such a good point because great cars all do the same thing. They make you a better driver. They make you more in tune with the machine. They make you more conscious of your environment. It's so silky smooth. And it's like, it just matches whatever mood you're in. And it's phenomenal. And I think, you know, it might be the last of the greats. I certainly think it's the best sports sedan ever created. I think it's better than anything BMW or Mercedes or Audi have ever done.
Ooh, there are a lot of fanboys having a heart attack right now.
I know, but man, I just think it's so darn good. I really can't find anything to fault on that car. You might not like the styling. You might not like some of the interior appliques, but holy smokes. It's just so good. They just like make life worth living. This car to me is one of those things. It's like, you know, I don't know. I put it up there with Coltrane's A Love Supreme. I think it's flawless. I don't think there's any way to better it. It's just, it's magical. And somehow they have all, you know, they've got all the same stuff as everybody else, but they just applied it a little bit better. They applied it differently. They made the car more alive. And I think we got to give it to Cadillac.
Yeah, if for no other reason to give it the award, we won't get another chance to, right? You know, all the other cars in this list, they're smaller engines. There's a lot of turbos involved. We're going to see that combination for, you know, years to come. But a big V8 with a supercharger, this is it, man.
Right. You know, it's a hard sell to a lot of people, and especially regulators. So that's a terrific point. Like the big V8 rear drive sedans with a stick, say goodbye to them, unfortunately.
Or buy one. Better yet, say bye to them and purchase one.
So the most expensive car at 87 grand gets it. And I think 87 grand is a small price to pay for this kind of happiness.
And what could be more joyful than driving the CT5V Blackwing in Southern California, which is where we're going to take you now with my producer, Sam Dingman. Remember how last season I did a whole episode on the BMW M5 and how it was the king of sports sedans, never to be toppled? Well, I may have been wrong about that.
So, the first thing to remember about this car, Sam, is that it's really blue.
This may be the bluest car I've ever seen.
It's the bluest blue. It does emphasize the shape in a cool way. You can see all these bone lines and the flares of the rear. It
makes a statement for sure.
Yeah. This is, to me, the pinnacle of the sports sedan. I mean, Cadillac has been chasing this idea. They wanted to be the American BMW for so long, and they've finally done it. And it's just a wonder to behold.
Let's take it out on the road.
Let's do it. So, pretty muted startup sound. You can't really hear the engine, sort of faint. More HVAC noise than anything. So, standard transmission. Nice small wheel without a ton of intimidating buttons. Now, let's get going here.
Listen to that hum. That's a nice hum.
It's good. And I'll show you. That's pretty sweet sounding, right?
Yeah.
And pretty instantaneous. This thing already feels so light and alive. And even at 35 miles an hour, there's like real feedback. And not just from the engine, real feedback from the chassis because it's electric power steering. But it's, they've tuned it so that there is really progressive weighting, feels really predictable. The car feels really small, drives really small. It doesn't feel like a big honking beast on the road. It feels really like tight. And, you know, they've taken the best aspects of the great sports sedans, rear-wheel drive, lightweight, big V8 engine, manual transmission, and really just worked it. The power is immediate. The torque is crazy. There's so much down low. It's just got so much kick, so much grunt, and it's like perfectly meted out by the throttle pedal. The throttle pedal is so sensitive. It is so adjustable. The pedals feel so good. They are just like micrometer fine. You know, they're really highly, highly sensitive. It's very easy to keep speed. But you don't pay any kind of penalty for it at low speed. I mean, the ride is incredible. I mean, everything is natural, and it responds exactly the way you think it will respond. And it does feel very
I would say, you know, alive.
Car Show is written and hosted by me, Eddie Alterman. It's produced by Emily Rostek and Jacob Smith. Our editor is Karen Shakurji. Original music and mastering by Ben Tolliday. Our executive producer is Mia Lobel. Our show art was designed by Sean Carney and airbrushed by Greg Lefevre. Special thanks to Sam Dingman, producer extraordinaire. We really had to twist his arm to get him in the passenger seat. Our patron saints, as always, are Lital Malad and Justine Lang. Car Show is a production of Pushkin Industries. If you love this show and others from Pushkin Industries, consider subscribing to Pushkin Plus. Pushkin Plus is a podcast subscription that offers bonus content and uninterrupted listening for just $4.99 a month. Look for Pushkin Plus on Apple Podcast subscriptions. To find more Pushkin podcasts, listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.